And there was one Ages. I heard somebody reference getting old here. This one Ages. Youth is all but a memory. Sometimes pleasant, sometimes not. But we can rejoice in the truth that, and with great assurance, that that the Lord is the same. He is the same. He is old as eternity, and yet his youthful immutability always, he is relevant. And when I look at Genesis 17 and verse 1, I am reminded with a great comfort again that God speaks to old people. Would you look there at that verse? When Abram was 90 years old and nigh, he can still hear, I take it from that. He can still hear. I also take it that when it says Abraham was 90 years old and nigh, the Lord appeared to him, he could see, still see. I also will take note that when the Lord appeared to Abram, he said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect, that he had some sense of wit about him. He wasn't completely, if at all, blitzed at 99 years of age. God speaks to old people. Would you pray with me? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. And it never fluctuates. We are amazed, Lord. We are people of emotion, and our emotions rise and fall. We are people who dwell in the physical realm, and sometimes everything depends on the way that our body reacts to the things about us. But you're always the same. You're always the same. Your word that you speak to your people, it never needs to be recalibrated. It's always the same. So we're grateful, Lord, that we have an instance here, what I believe a significant instance here, where you spoke to old people. And we ask, Lord, that if we find ourselves in various stages of geriatric array, that you will likewise comfort our hearts as each day comes and goes. We're thankful that we do not have to live with your presence but silence. Thankful, Lord, that you're always able, willing to communicate, to enjoy company and fellowship. We rejoice in that and ask your blessing upon our time here as we look into the scriptures for a few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. When I made reference at the end of the service about people ignoring old people, I found that for years I've noticed this. There were many occasions when I was doing the nursing home thing with my aunts that I would have to sit and wait for them for various reasons. I would always sit in the foyer of the nursing home, just sit there and wait and pass some time. Invariably, the nursing staff would wheel out 3, 4, 5 elderly residents of the home, and they would be parked there by the window so they could see out. And people would come and go and walk right past them, never even acknowledge their presence, much less speak a word to them. Now, I will say that you needed to be careful. You did need to be careful. You go into the nursing home, and if you were friendly that day and you spoke to one of the residents, you either had to take a wide turn around their chair or move a little quicker past them, because they were always, seems to me, unless they were really medicated, whenever you would do at the very minimal, at least greet them, they would respond in kind. Always. Now that era of time seems to be past, you go out into the public forum, and you will quickly take note that even if you pass people in the byway or the highway there, The only people who will address you or even look at you eyeball to eyeball and communicate are people your own age.
Or little
kiddos. Oh, yeah, little kiddos. I'm always amazed at kiddos riding in their strollers. You walk past them, have no clue who they are, they have no clue who you are, and they're locked onto you eyeball to eyeball. And they grin. You know, they grin. But if you walk past a teenager or a young adult, you're not going to get any kind of... You think you're in zombie land. When I look here at this place in the Scripture, when Abraham was 99, the Lord appeared to him and with this statement, identified himself to Abram. And furthermore, there is a statement of expectation that he has for old people. At age 99, you would think that you would be at sufficient tread on the tire to be put out the pasture with nobody expecting much of anything anymore. But he has some expectation here. In this particular reference, he said, walk before me. I take it that from looking at everything else about Abram, he could still do that. He could still walk, live, conduct his own affairs. And then also there is some ability on his part, as God would expect, be thou perfect. Take care of yourself. It is, you know, people sometimes will make jokes of older folks when you get near them, that they sometimes forget to take, that they should take care of themselves in some form or fashion. But the expectation that God has of Abram is, be thou perfect. Perfect. Now, we may have a time to look at that, but let me go on for a moment. At 99, he's talking to this man. In the next chapter of Genesis, chapter 18, there's a conversation between the Lord and Abram and his wife. And please, just for the record, note that the 11th verse says they were both stricken in age. And the word stricken is not there by accident. Stricken. Okay. That carries with it a, shall I say, put that word in any other sentence that it makes sense and you get the gist of what stricken means. It's something that happens to somebody that they would rather not have happen to them. But it is said that they were stricken in age and ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Now keep in mind, these are old people. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? Please notice what she called her husband. Please notice what she called her husband. I won't go anywhere there. The Lord said to Abraham, God talking to an old man, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Now here's the next, in the next verse is a verse we always like to quote. We can easily apply it to almost any circumstance. But keep in mind, verse 14 is in the context of old people. Old people who have arrived at a point in time in their life where they think that most things are impossible. At least they feel like they're impossible. Or they should be. Verse 14 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Anything. Well, you would think if anything was, this would be one of those things. Sarah, according to normal biological course, is way past normal childbearing opportunity. But is anything too hard for God? Now, can you think about hard things? Accepting this, think about hard things. Think about it for a minute. Can you think of anything that might fall from the human perspective into this category that caused Sarah to laugh? Anything. Just for a comparative. I want to pick on Joyce because she's been so sweet in these past weeks. But Joyce takes a beating in her house. When it comes to cooking casseroles, Bob ain't buying. Okay, so my question is anything too hard for God? Could Bob come to love her casseroles even as it was possible for Sarah to bear a child? Is anything too hard for God? Huh? Depends on what's in it.
Yeah.
We want a lot of mushrooms in it, right? Or we like a lot of onions and stuff. Yeah.
There's so many.
So many. Yeah. Is anything too hard for God? Keep in mind that in the context, that is being addressed to two old people, way past their prime. And he's informing her that she's going to have a son. Not just any son. Not just another of like everybody else's son, but a very special son. He would be the son of promise. And you see in the 14th verse, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. God can do that. And now we've oftentimes joked about this when we come to a verse like this. But ladies, none of you are safe. You may think your time is past. You may think you bore your last child, but nothing is safe here. If God is so inclined,
let me know if the word is
so open mouth, stick foot in. All I'm saying is that this is pretty extreme. From a human perspective, this is pretty extreme for a woman this age to be about to have a son, and not just any son. But God had a design not only for her, but the son that she would bear. The son of promise. Spoken to an old person who was well past childbearing prime, and yet she was told she would have a very special son. Even to the on the opposite end of that spectrum, to the comparatively youthful Mary, informed by God that she would have a child. She would have a child. Now I want you to see in Luke chapter 1 where you have these two or three verses that seem to be placed in a context where things don't seem just possible. But in Luke chapter 1, now this woman's not 99 or in the area at all. But she's also informed that she will have a very special son. And understandably, looking at this Luke 1, verse number 34, Mary says to the angel, first word, how? How? How shall this be? And the premise of her question is, seeing I know not a man. It seems that the two work in concert in order for a child, as even was the case with Abraham and Sarah at age 99, there had to be a partnership between husband and wife. That's why she laughed. She used the word pleasure. Why do I point that out? Because she was alive at a time, physically, where that was not even on the radar anymore. Whereas Mary, how will this be? How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? It's not possible. It is absolutely not possible. There has to be, biologically speaking, a union of two. Opposites, can I say that in our opposites? Keep it always in mind in light of the current debate that when we get back, we will eventually get to this and touch upon the political climate, is that when God made Adam and Eve, made them in their own image, He made them male and female for a reason. For a reason. Okay? And Mary understood that. But please notice, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Now, that's a pretty flexible response there, because he doesn't go into any details to exactly how. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Not one Bible scholar that I have ever read over the years, not one single person, has ever ventured to even put a footnote in his works as to what was in the overshadowing that would bring this about. And I say, well, that's by God's design. There are some things He just doesn't want us to know. But He's telling her that the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also conceived a son when? When? This age. Old age. And this is the sixth month of her, who is called barren. Now that in itself is one of several narratives in the Old Testament and New Testament where God took a seemingly hopeless situation where a barren woman was concerned and intervened and permitted a birth to take place. But please notice also this next verse, so much kindred to Genesis 18:14, one of two or three verses where the implication is much the same. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Nothing is impossible. What a special and precious truth that in both cases, the old woman and the younger woman were going to bear a son in such a radically unique manner as to underscore the truth about the might of God and His capabilities and His willingness and abilities to accomplish His purpose, when from the human perspective, everything else seems hopeless. Hopeless. Now, I've thought to myself many times, and I've talked to others, friends, and oftentimes parishioners, at various stages of their health and well-being. And eventually, we come to a place in our lives where the inevitable is about to seize us. There's no going back. I don't care what kind of supplements you take. Don't care what kind of gym you go to. Don't care what kind of exercise equipment you buy or exercise clothing that you wear. Inevitability is this. We are all, according to that second law of thermodynamics, entering into decay and disintegration, the consequence of sin. And whenever we get to thinking that everything is hopeless and there does not seem to be any way around the corner or any way we can burrow under the obstacle or climb over top of it, we remember, we quote Genesis 18:14. We quote Luke 1, verse 37, with God nothing shall be impossible. But note in both cases, God has to be willing. And in both cases, He communicated His wishes to the old person, to the younger person. Now I want you to think back with me about all of this. We are, the expectation that God placed on Abram was, walk before me. Be thou perfect. Perfect. Think about perfect in this respect. That word that is used there in Genesis 17:1 is a word that you can paint the concept of wholeness. You can paint integrity on it. Here's how you can illustrate it. You can take any one of these, and I think we've done this many times before. If I take an obstacle here, or a sharp projectile, this is about as sharp as things get.
Use your pen.
Now that's an idea. There's my help. Coming right to the table. See a little point there? Now this cup, kind of guy as I am, some of you are looking a little parched right now, and I would love to fill it up with some liquid for your benefit. No doubt, knowing me as you do, you see me fill that up with, take your pick, the iced tea, the coffee, the sugar water, or whatever it is that you like, and I'll fill it right up to the brim, carefully hand it to you. Very carefully handed to you. Very carefully handed to you. It's full now.
Okay.
And she's got no qualms. Because the cup is a cup of integrity. It's whole. If however I take my pen. Can you see the light through that hole? See the light? And I take the same thing. Fill her up to the brim. First of all, what will happen to the contents in the cup, even though filled to the brim? They will be what? They will drip out. Now, I'm willing to take that same cup and hand it to my friend. She ain't buying it. Because it's leaking. It's leaking. The container has lost its integrity. It's no longer whole. It's no longer useful for the purpose that it was intended. And when God told Abram to walk before me and be thou perfect, his expectation of this old man was that he should, that the container which he is, that we can liken down to the temple of the Holy Spirit, which temple ye are, that we are to be people of integrity. Useful, fruitful, in concordance, in accordance with the perfect, or the plan of God's design for you. So when you think about the literalness of that, God does not want, even in an old man's life, any holes that will cause leaks in his integrity, or his character, or his values, his morals, or his faith. Don't ever allow the container which is your life to be poked and prodded with doubts so much so that you begin to lose the fullness of the Holy Spirit, which essentially, and by the way, it should be pointed out to you that I can fill this up to the brim and I can move it from point A to point B, but I must do it very carefully. If, however, I want to do a little more rapid transition, I can put half in it and go a little bit quicker. I can take it right over to Leroy. No hole in it. It's half full. I can run right over there with it. Hand to Leroy. He can confidently receive it. But if, however, it is to be full, and we are, by the way, commanded by the Apostle in Ephesians 5:18 to be filled with the Spirit, that doesn't mean anything less than filled unless we have allowed perforations in the container to cause the Spirit to leak from the container. It says to Abraham, walk before me, old man, be thou perfect. Old men don't get a pass anymore than young men do. How do I know that young people, their same expectations? You remember what Joseph's response was going to be to Mary when he suspected that she had been unfaithful to him and turned up pregnant? You remember what he was fixing to do? Until the Lord communicated with Joseph and straightened him up and revealed to him what his plan was for his wife and for that son that she should bear. Thou shalt bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. There was no options given to her. You and Joseph get your head together and find out exactly what would be a good name. He told her what name he was going to have. because he came to with a specific purpose in mind. How else could it have been done? So in the context of that, is anything too hard for God? Anything? I hope that that will be a little sweetener for your meal today. I appreciate your attentiveness. I can see one person flag. You've done good. You've done good. Let me pray. We will be dismissed. And somebody will haul the hymn books back over to the auditorium. I'd appreciate it. Any other cleaning responsibilities need to be done, trust that we can share that together. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have left us a reliable record of your heart for your people of every age. And we are most certainly encouraged in this great truth. You do not change. There has nothing arisen since the day of Abram or the day of Mary and Joseph that has proven to be too hard for you to administrate. Nothing. And while we look around us and we see some pretty impossible circumstances, we ought to be reminded that you have all things well in hand. And furthermore, that all things are working together for good to them who are the called. And we pray for each who love you, that we might be refreshed by that truth, not only for the moment at hand, but from day to day. We'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.